You're listening to Life in Deep Ellum's podcast.
Hey, friends. Thanks for joining me for another week of prayer. As promised, today's topic is contemplation. I'm always speaking from the Ignatian tradition, and in Ignatian contemplation, most frequently, we're talking about praying with the Gospels. It may be helpful for you to know that when we pray with a passage, the goal is never to get through it in order to move on to the next. Ignatius talked about savoring passages, which means we stay with the passage as long as it feels like the Holy Spirit is giving us meaningful prayer in that portion of Scripture. I've been praying with the first few verses of Mark chapter 1 for the last month. It's the passage where John the Baptist is introduced, and you hear that he's baptizing people and announcing the Christ is coming. It's the kind of passage that I typically have jumped right over in my prayer, but I have been completely drawn in for a month now. And for sure, there are parts of me that long to move on. I want to get to the place where Jesus shows up, but the Holy Spirit is keeping me here at the river with gruff old John the Baptist. The experience has been interesting. I've floated in the river. I've been hugged by John. I've showed up as my 9-year-old self. I've gone from the river to a hike that I did in Zion National Park. I have never decided in advance how I'm going to enter the story or where my prayer will take me. That's the Holy Spirit's work. He guides our imagination as we pray. My experience is people are generally surprised how naturally they're able to engage this kind of prayer. Occasionally, people find it a struggle to focus, to engage their imaginations, or they have one powerful experience and then their prayer just seems to shut down. For all of these reasons, if you want to engage Ignatian contemplation deeply, I strongly encourage you to find a spiritual director to help you locate your prayer. If you're not ready for that, I can offer you a few insights that may be helpful as you find your own way in prayer. There's really kind of three things to pay attention to. First is your reaction. It's important to recognize you cannot choose your reaction in prayer. It just is. The invitation is to notice how you feel about your prayer experience. If you struggle to enter prayer and your thought afterwards is something like, "Of course this is hard. Everything is always hard." And then that feeling rises of, "When has God ever shown up for me?" Well, friends, you have located your prayer. That reaction is important. You got to bring that to Jesus. Talk to the Lord about it. Then see what happens as you continue to practice contemplation. Maybe a different reaction is you fall asleep every time you try to pray. Well, friends, pay attention to that. What might the Holy Spirit be communicating? I don't know, but if you keep falling asleep, when you wake up, thank God for the rest. And then ask if there's anything the Lord is saying to you through that weariness or through that rest or through that deep peace. However you experience it, however you react in prayer, take note. What I know about prayer is the Holy Spirit will keep illuminating things as long as you do not discount your experience. Stay aware and curious. And trust the Spirit is coming to you. The second thing to really pay attention to is when resistance pops up in you. Anytime you experience resistance in prayer, pay particular attention. Resistance is where you will find the most energy in your prayer. Notice what you're resisting, where your resistance is directed, and when you can name it. Well, even before you can name it, when you see it, take it to Jesus. You have located your prayer. The third area has a lot to do with what I mean when I say you have located your prayer. This is what we relate to Jesus. That's that third word, relate. And what I mean when I say you have located your prayer is that you have found the place in your life and your experience and your understanding of God that the Holy Spirit is bringing your attention to. And now you get to have a conversation with Jesus about that. You get to relate, to relay to God what is coming up for you in prayer. So let me review these. You can't choose your action. You can notice where there's resistance. And centrally important is that we relate to the Lord what's coming up in our prayer. Now, I want to review the five steps of Ignatian contemplation briefly, because that's what we're practicing today in our prayer. So one, we begin by centering ourselves in God's loving presence. We recognize we are never alone when we pray. Two, we review the scripture passage we'll be praying, so we're going to read through it. Three, we compose the scene. To the degree we are able, we create a sensory experience. What do we taste? What do we touch? What do we feel, hear, see, sense? Four, we enter the scene, allowing the Holy Spirit to take us wherever we need to go. And finally, we conclude our prayer by coming to Jesus to relate, to share whatever came up, and to listen, to see what he might have to share with us. If you sense the Lord saying something to you and resistance comes up there or a strong emotion comes up there, I always recommend just asking Jesus, what do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? One last piece of advice. Though praying with scripture is the most common form of Ignatian contemplation, there are other forms: praying with fantasy, prayers of consideration, centering prayer. If you find that praying with scripture is not connecting, don't try to force your prayer. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you toward the prayer that will be most connecting for you. The goal of prayer is we find ourselves in God's loving presence. We connect to his love and live out of that place. There are so many ways to pray. Explore them. Enjoy them. I offer you the Ignatian ways because it's the tradition the Holy Spirit brought to me. It's what I know and can share with you. But it's not the only way or the quote-unquote right way to pray. It is a way. And I hope it may bring you as much life as it brought me. But if it doesn't, stay open. God will bring you the prayer you need. So, what do you say? Let's do some contemplative prayer together. For this prayer, I recommend a relaxed posture that is comfortable for you and communicates openness. Go ahead, get settled, and when you're ready, we'll begin. Now that you're settled, I'll review how I'm going to guide our prayer experience today. I'm going to read through Luke 5, verses 17 through 26 twice. On the first reading, notice what draws your attention, what repels you, what words, people, experiences stand out. Do you sense any resistance coming up? As I move on to the second reading, begin to compose the scene. Remember, this means the sensory experience. What do you see? What do you hear, feel, touch, taste, sense? And as I finish reading, see if you can enter the story. Notice what character you find yourself as. Where are you in relationship to Jesus? Again, don't get caught up on what comes to you once you enter. The Holy Spirit is going to give you your prayer. Trust how it unfolds. So as you're ready, let's go ahead and take a nice deep breath in and exhale. Let's go ahead and do that again, breathing in and exhale. And together, let's breathe in one more time. And exhale. I want you
to picture yourself in the Lord's loving presence. His love is all around you, flowing in and through you. And you open your heart to receive. Completely, absolutely, just as you are in this moment. And so breathe into that. Open yourself to the kindness of our good and gracious Lord. By Him you are fully seen, fully known, fully loved. And from this place, we enter our prayer. Luke chapter 5, verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." Luke 5. One day, Jesus was teaching. And Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." The Pharisees and the teachers of the law began thinking to themselves, "Who is this fellow who speaks blasphemy? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" Jesus knew what they were thinking and asked, "Why are you thinking these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." Immediately, he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." As you are able, enter the scene. Open to wherever the Holy Spirit may take you in these next 5 minutes. And as you're ready, turn your face and your heart toward Jesus and relate to him. Share with him all that's come up for you in this time of prayer. If it's been trouble focusing, share that with him. If you don't have the words, openness, silence, vulnerability is enough. As you're ready, you can come back to the place that you're in. I want to end our time together today with the writing from Michael Moynihan. It's called Broken Record. Grandparenting God, you see our sin as symptomatic stutter, self-effacing struggle to ignore the confounding reality of your willful vulnerability. He imagines God saying to us, I love you because I can't do anything else. I made you, every last part of you, all that's hidden and all that's revealed, all that's muddled and even all that's clear. You are, at the risk of repeating myself, dear to me. You are precious in my eyes because... just because you are mine, that's enough for me. And it will have to do for you. Wrestle with it until you get tired, and then relax and give in. Take a deep breath and enjoy. And that's my prayer for you as you learn to enter Ignatian contemplation, that you will wrestle with it until you get tired, and then relax and give in, take a deep breath, and enjoy. Thank you so much for praying with me today. I love you. I trust you are loving one another well. And I look forward to being with you again soon.